Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Acts chapter 4, and beginning in verse 34, this is when great rejoicing was going on in the early church after the day of Pentecost. This is right after the day of Pentecost, which we see recorded in Acts chapter 1 and 2. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, as the Holy Ghost came upon the 120. And then Peter began to preach, and 3,000 and then 5,000 got saved. So the early church was exploding. The Lord Himself added to the church daily such as should be saved. They were preaching Jesus and praying fervently, and there were miracles that God chose to bring about, signs following the preaching of the word. And it says in verse 33 of Acts 4, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." So immediately what comes to mind, first of all, they brought things together. They brought their things together, and there was none that lacked. And there was none that lacked because they all lived as a community, if you will. And we don't have to live next door to each other to have community. If you're a member of the body of Christ and I have something you need, then I should be joyful, overjoyed to be able to help you as I can and I'm enabled to by what I have. Another place we see a collection being taken is 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. "Now concerning the collection for the saints," notice the collection first of all, and then also what it was for. It was for the saints. "As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay up by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." Notice that each believer was to lay up in store as God had prospered him. The New Testament does not come out and say, "Thou shalt tithe." I'm not teaching tithing. That ought to be a minimal measure of what believers give. And if you're not giving anything, claiming to be led by the Spirit, that is totally wrong, because that's not even biblical. God so loved the world, He gave. Jesus commanded us to give. Luke 6:38. We are to give. And this is an organized way for the body of Christ to do it. That when we get together, that's one way that we give. We're not limited to when we get together to give. If we see somebody in need, we give, you know, at any time. Also, if we see ministries that are preaching the word, get behind them, give. So I'm seeing three things here that the purpose of the giving was. First of all, so that everybody was taken care of, as we see in Acts 4, verse 34, "Neither was there any among them that lacked." Because why? Verse 35 says, "Distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." And then also, we see that they were taken up in an offering here in 1 Corinthians 16 in order to send it to Jerusalem to some of the saints that needed help with material goods and monetary goods. And then we also have in the scriptures that the men who preach the word of God are to be compensated through the gospel. They should rightly expect to be compensated according to scriptures. 1 Corinthians 9 and 1 Timothy 5:17-18. Now, you encourage you to do something, to write all these scriptures down and go study this out. Study to show your own self proven unto God. If you got a problem with people doing the most important work in the world, and that's preaching the gospel, these men are called of God, the true ones. If you got a problem with them being compensated, then you've got a problem with God, because He set that up from way back. He's always instituted that those who preach the gospel should live of the gospel, quote unquote. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 14. To further investigate this, go to 1 Corinthians 9:1-14 and 1 Timothy 5:17-18. Those that labor in the word and in doctrine, it says, are to be thought worthy of double honor. That means they're to be well taken care of compensation wise so they can stay upon the Lord and minister to the saints. That's the most important thing in this world that's going on, is the operation of the body of Christ to worship the Lord Jesus in spirit and truth, and to spread spread his kingdom, to further the kingdom purpose that Jesus came and instituted. That's the whole reason for the body of Christ, that we may know him and make him known. One of the things you see in contrast here, as I just said, there are three things we're seeing here in Scripture as to why offerings were taken up. First of all, in Acts 4, so that everybody was taken care of. They had all things in common. So let's take care of our brethren. We see a need, let's jump in there and fulfill it. Anyway, so we see there was equality. People gave so that there was no needs among them. It says none of them lacked in Acts 4, 34, and 35. Now, in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2 and 3, they're taking up an offering in order to send this offering, a special offering, to Jerusalem to help the saints there. And then in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul gives the whole basis and the whole argument for those that do ministry full-time, those that are called to give themselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word, Acts 6, 4, that they are to be compensated for what they do. And he gives quite an argument there and talks about no man goes to war of his own charges. No man goes to war of his own charges. We don't send the Marines to fight for us and to pounce on some enemy so they don't come blow us up. And then when the Marines get back to America, go, okay, here you go, here's your bill. It took us $450,000 to keep you over there in that land fighting our battle. Now, here you go, here's your bill. You're going to have to work till this bill is paid off the rest of your life here in America. That would be ludicrous to even think of that. They're going to fight for us. We fund it, right? Our taxes fund it. So why would we argue about, or if you got a problem with that, you got a problem with God, because that's what he's instituted. And so, three things. The offerings were given so that everybody among them was taken care of.
So the money received helps us to
help other people that are in need. And so that's part of what the offering is for, part of why we take up collections in the body of Christ. And then also in 1 Corinthians 9 was for the support of those that call into full-time ministry that are truly doing the work of the Lord, that is. And then also in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2 and 3, he's speaking of a love offering, a special love offering that week that was going to be taken up and sent to a city called Jerusalem where there were people in need. Now, what we see in Acts 4 is very contrasted to what we see today in most of the modern church, which is virtually all apostate. We see finances coming in, and we see people living off of $250,000 salaries as pastors. Some of them have a lot more than that, and yet there's not distribution being made evenly, which is what we see here in Acts 4:34. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of them, the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. Now, a lot of pastors stop right there, but look at the next line. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. When's the last time you've been to your favorite Sunday morning church and the pastor came out and said, now we need to know who's got a need? I don't know, man. From what I have seen, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of care for the people. And a lot of times it's very embarrassing to have a need and a lack and have to humble yourself and let somebody know. That's extremely embarrassing at times. It can be for people. These people go without. And when the church has several hundred thousand or a million or tens of thousands of dollars sitting in the bank that could be helping these people, that does not align with New Testament Christianity. We got to get the stuff to the people. And that's what you see here. They laid down what they brought at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Now, if we just do what the Bible says, there'll be benevolence for those that are in need. When people are in need, there'll be benevolence for them among us that have a bona fide need. And then there'll also be money to send to other work in other places, as we see in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. And then there'll be the provision for those elders called to labor in the word and in doctrine. And so, I believe that God will fill us up. He will take care of all of our needs if we do what he said to do. Now, for you and I individually, we need to give of what God blesses us with. I believe the first fruits of everything I get is to go to God. It says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, that we're to honor the Lord. It says to honor the Lord with what? With thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Whatever you make, honor the Lord with it. How do you do that? And with the first fruits of all thine increase. Somebody said, well, that's Old Testament. Well, it's still a truth, a biblical truth and principle that we should live by right here. This is not written in vain. The same God who gave us Genesis gave us Revelation and everything in between. So we're to honor the Lord with our substance and with the first fruits of all our increase. I believe it's important that we take, let me give you an analogy. Have you ever noticed that if you don't get up and pray in the morning, the first thing, that the day gets away from you and you wind up never really having an intimate time with the Lord? If you're like anybody else I've ever talked to, that's what happens. If you don't take that that first waking moment and get up and you've already got it planned that you don't do anything before you seek God in prayer and in the Word. A lot of young believers have that because they just haven't developed the disciplines of holy living yet. If you schedule God in because He's the most important person in your life, and He's not a second-class citizen. He's first-class. Jesus said, seek ye, not second, but first. First and foremost, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things will be added to you. So it's the same principle here. By the way, the Bible talks over 50 times about early morning prayer, putting God first in your prayer life. Okay, we should do the same thing with money. If you get, just for the sake of a round figure, if you get a $1,000 check paid this week, the first portion of that, it'd be very wise to give to the Lord. Now, what happens when we do that? I'm not enticing anyone to give to get. We give in order to obey and because we love the Lord and because He so loved the world that He gave. And Jesus said to give, Luke 6:38. It's a command to give. And we give, hopefully, out of a cheerful heart. God loveth a cheerful giver. When God's love fills our heart, we can't help but want to give. It's just such a blessing. Then we get mad and upset when we don't have more to give. It is more blessed to give than to receive, Jesus said, Acts 20, verse 35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when you start to get a revelation of this, and you start through the Scriptures, and you start walking in this and doing it, I can just tell you the joy of the Lord began to explode in my life when that happened. And it continues to. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty,
and thy presses
shall burst out with
new wine.
God is going to cause you to prosper, it sounds like to me. Not only here, but in eternity most of all. Jesus did tell us to lay up treasure. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust does corrupt. There's no value to laying up treasure on earth. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He did say to lay up treasures for yourself. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. God has this, the most out of this world compensation and investment plan that we could ever comprehend. Send it forth before you, beloved, into eternity. Whatever you die with on this earth in your bank account, I want you to think about if you die with all of this money in the bank that could have been used for the Lord's work. What is the Lord going to say to you about that? Very, very small percentage of rich people will go to heaven according to Scripture. Even a smaller percentage than just the regular populace. It's all over Scripture. Starting in Luke
16,
the rich man died and went to hell. And Jesus himself said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, there in Mark 10. And he also said, he spoke to those that even just have riches. Now, by the way, the Bible tells us to charge those that are rich, that they be rich in giving, 1 Timothy 6. But Jesus says here in Mark chapter 10, he's speaking about riches, verse 23, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. Now, right after that, verse 24, he says, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? So he says both. He says, not only how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God, but how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Those that have riches are in themselves, and this needs to be known by them and to them, that they're jeopardized in their soul by having riches, by just having them. I didn't say it was a sin to have riches. The Bible doesn't say it's a sin to have riches, but it is a sin to have riches and not be rich in giving. Because 1 Timothy 6 commands all men of God to charge those that are rich to be rich in their giving and blessing the people of God and the work of the Lord. He's speaking a lot about riches in this chapter of 1 Timothy 6, and he says in verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Those that will be rich, those that not necessarily are rich, although it includes them, but those that will be rich, or covet to be rich, or keep, this could also apply to them who are rich, who keep their money and don't share it with others, which the Bible speaks against in Proverbs 11, 24 through 26. And Jesus himself, speaking of the sin of omission, said in Matthew 25, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye did it not unto me. And they that will be rich, verse 9, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, and faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight. fight of faith. So we're to flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession. Before many witnesses, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, gives all things life, in other words. And before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming, ready or not, right? Which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, or supreme ruler, and King of kings, and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach, unto whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So, those disciples of Christ, all disciples of Christ, to charge those that are rich. Paul is telling Timothy, he's telling him, charge those that are rich, for their own soul's sake, right, especially, that they be not high-minded. They're no better than anybody else. Jesus said, beware of covetousness, for a man's life or his significance consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses. Luke 12:15. Jesus is saying there that the worth of an individual has nothing to do with how little or how much he has. Luke 12:15. And to beware of covetousness. You don't size people up. Godly people don't size others up by where they live, what they live in, or what they drive, or what kind of clothes they have. That's showing respecter of person. It speaks about in the second and fifth chapters of James. And God says, if you have respecter of persons, you have sinned, and you're judging wrongly, completely wrongly. And so may God forgive us for that. And we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind as we present ourselves a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. He talks specifically about this in James 2. He says, my brethren, beginning in verse 1, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, real nice clothes, and there nice jewelry, nice clothes, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing or the good clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Oh, just sit anywhere. Go sit against the wall to the poor guy. But you tell the rich man, oh, come on up. You usher him on up to the front row. He said, you have sinned. You've shown respect of persons, and the Bible says there is no respect of persons with God. Are ye not then partial in yourselves? Verse 4, James 2. And are become judges of evil thoughts? Are ye not partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor in this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? If God has chosen them, who are we to despise them? That shows an absolute arrogance of heart that needs to be repented of before it's too late. Verse 6, but ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which you are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. He actually says you have defilement. You're not ready to meet the Lord. You are in trouble. You've broken the law. You don't love your neighbor as yourself. You're loving people based on what they have and what they don't have. And you're hating those that don't have much. For he hath said, do not commit adultery. He that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. We're going to have judgment without mercy if we show no mercy to those that don't have a lot. They're no better or worse because of what they possess or don't possess in this life than those that possess a lot. That's no basis to measure people on. So, we're talking a little bit about stewardship today, running through a few of the different facets of it, friends, and we're going to go ahead and wind this one down. But I'll tell you, this is a big subject. I encourage you to study, you show yourself approved in the Word concerning this subject. Now, one of the things I really believe the Holy Spirit wanted us to put our finger on in this study is the fact, number one, they took up collections in the early church. They did take up collections in the early church. We see that in the book of Acts, and we see that in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. There was a collection taken to send money to Jerusalem to the saints over there. In the book of Acts, they took up a collection and distributed among all the believers so that everybody had all things common in the sense that there wasn't one that was doing just wonderfully and had all this money sitting around. But no, they shared the money so that everybody was taken care of. And then also in 1 Corinthians 9, which we did not go into today, Paul speaks about not muzzling the mouth of an ox and that those that preach the gospel are to live of the gospel. And 1 Timothy 5, 17 and 18 says to not muzzle the mouth of the ox, but those that are in the word and labor in the word and doctrine, they're to be thought worthy of double honor, which means financial compensation for what they do. It's the most important work on the earth. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Again, this is Todd Tomasella, SafeguardYourSoul.com.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, Scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on SafeguardYourSoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all Scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.